My name's Tristan. We're gonna have a think about this next part of Joshua. It's going to be super helpful if you have your Bible kept open today, particularly because the section we're covering is actually over 10 chapters, so it's quite a big section that we're going to cover today. And we're going to touch down in a few different places along the way in these 10 chapters. I'm going to chuck a lot of Bible verses up on the screen for you to make it easy to follow along. But if you have the Bible open in front of you, it'll kind of help you get kind of wrap your mind around the big picture of what's happening in the section. So if you have your Bible kept open there around Joshua chapter 10, chapter 11, that'll be helpful. I'll pray and we'll get into it. Father God, as we read your word this morning, please help us to understand it well. And Father, please help us to delight in the wonderful things that are ours in Christ Jesus. Amen. This part of Joshua makes me wonder how you enjoyed your extra day off this week. Public holiday on Monday, long weekends, last weekend. Was it nice to have a rest? Nice to have a bit of an extra break? Look, I love a long weekend as much as the next guy. But of course, what it actually meant was that this past week I had to fit 5 days work into 4 days. And so, to be honest, by the time I got to the end of the week, I did not feel particularly well rested. Although, back at Easter, my family and I, we took a couple of weeks holiday. That was really nice. Annoyingly, though, for one of the 2 weeks that we were away, half of our family was sick with the flu. Kind of took the shine off the holiday. And look, even when you do have a really good holiday, say a couple of years ago, we took a long holiday, 10 weeks. It was really great, but when I got back, people kept asking me if I was refreshed and rested and re-energized. Now, to be very clear, I love my job, but when I got back, I just had the taste of freedom in my mouth, right? I came back with a fresh loathing for hard work from that holiday. But anyway, look, back to the long weekend. Do you feel rested? And to be clear, look, I'm not complaining. I don't need any sympathy. I say all this just to point out that real rest is hard to come by, isn't it? Real rest often seems quite elusive and fleeting and hard to find. It's hard to find real rest because we carry around our pain with us. We carry around our physical pain, mental pain, relational pain. We carry around our guilt and our sin and our mess. Look, if you long for rest, it's more than just flopping down on the couch at the end of the day. If you long for a deep kind of soul-satisfying rest, this part of Joshua is for you. Because this part of Joshua is all about where God's people find rest. Did you notice rest in chapter 11, verse 23? It was the last verse that Janelle read out for us. Chapter 11, verse 23. Have a look at it again. It said, Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. That's an important word popping up there, rest. It's got big overtones in the Bible story. Way back at the beginning of the Bible story, God made the whole world and he made humanity. And then when God had made the world and made people, he rested. God rested with the people he made. Together, God and his people, they rested and they enjoyed all of God's creation together. But then the very next thing that happened is that sin came along and that rest was completely shattered. But now, here we are in Joshua. God's promised to once again be with his people. God's giving them a new place. And finally, for the first time since the first page of the Bible story, we are told that God's people have rest again. This is a big moment in the Bible story, right here in the middle of Joshua. And we get a sense of the significance of this moment by the way the pace of the book of Joshua now dramatically changes. See, after telling us in lots and lots of detail about the defeat of Jericho and the defeat of Ai and the defeat of the five kings we read about last week, which all of that took us 10 chapters to get through. The book of Joshua now sort of leaps into fast forward. And so if you look at chapter 10, the second half of the chapter, it just races through all of these conquests in the south. And then in chapter 11, there's more of the same, but this time it's conquests in the north. We got a little snapshot of that. Chapter 12 flashes through the kings that Moses defeated and then the kings Joshua defeated. Three chapters, but over 30 more victories. This is all going exactly to plan. It's all going exactly to plan because, do you remember, and we noticed this last week, earlier in the Bible story, in the book of Deuteronomy, this is exactly what God told Israel to do. God told Israel to defeat these kings, clear them out of the land because they worship false gods. You might remember that Deuteronomy said, make no treaty with them, show them no mercy, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. So break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. God said to his people, when you have this rest in this land that I'm giving you, make sure that you don't even flirt with following any other gods, false gods. Don't have anything to do with that superstition. Do not think that the true and living God won't be insulted if you start worshipping faces carved out of blocks of wood. Other parts of the Bible tell us that these people, they would cut themselves, they would burn their children in fire, thinking that would get their wooden gods to do what they wanted. The true and living God says, no, that's not rest. Wooden gods can't give you the good life. Don't have anything to do with them. I'm your God and you are my people. And so, chapter 10 and 11 and 12, flying through all of these victories, this is pretty good stuff from Israel's perspective. No wonder that at the end of chapter 11, we are told that the land has rest. Rest at last. Maybe. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, because when we hit chapter 13, things just really slow right down again. They slow right down, and it means that we can take a closer look and see if God's people really are finally at rest in the promised land. So chapter 13, Joshua's getting old now, and so God pays him a visit, says it's time to divide up the land. Have a look at chapter 13, verse 1. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, you're now very old, and there are still very large areas of the land to be taken over. And then God gives Joshua instructions for dividing up the land. And from chapter 13 all the way to chapter 21, that is what we get. Instructions for dividing up the land in agonizingly slow detail. The land east of the Jordan River, the land west of the Jordan River, land for the tribe of Judah, land for all the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon. It just goes on one by one. It crawls along for 9 whole chapters. Boundaries, borders, rivers, cities. Not going to lie, it's a pretty dull read. But this is anything but dull for Israel. This is not dull for Israel because this is their home, right? This is where they are settling in. This is the place where they are now going to enjoy life, the place where they can rest. This is where they are now going to live the dream. This is like, for Israel, this is like looking at the realestate.com.au listing of a house they're about to buy. It's pretty exciting stuff. This is the place they're going to settle in and live and rest. As they read these chapters, they are poring over the details of their best life. They're looking at the photos, they're looking at the floor plans. That's what these chapters are for Israel. It's an exciting picture, but as exciting as it is, when they finally move in, things are not quite as perfect as they seem. Claire and I bought a house a couple of years ago. That's a bit of a flex these days. It's not meant to be. I do that thing where I leave browser tabs open on my computer. So I've still got the realestate.com.au listing of the house that we bought open on my computer. And on the odd occasion that I see it, it's an interesting reminder of how expectation is different from reality. Those are actual photos from the listing. To be very clear, they are perfectly staged photos, right? I wish my house still looked like that. It does not. That is not my furniture. That was all taken away, and I put my own scruffy furniture in there. And despite all of my grand plans for it to be as clean and tidy as that forever, and despite Claire's heroic efforts, it is not. It does not look like that. Those bathroom mirrors now have toothpaste smeared all over them. And you should see the kids' bathroom. That's what we find here in Joshua 2. When we zoom in on the details in these chapters and we start poking around, it hasn't gone quite as well as it appears. Let me show you some examples. Chapter 13, verse 13. It says the Israelites did not drive out the people of Geshur and Makkah, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. Going on there. Chapter 15, verse 63. Jebusites in Jerusalem. Israel couldn't drive them out. So they stayed. Then again in chapter 16, verse 10. Canaanites in Gezer. Israel are happy for them to stay around as long as they can be their slaves. Chapter 17. Bunch of villages where the Canaanites were determined to stay, it says. I mean, what can Israel do if they're determined to stay? A few verses later, in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaites, the hill country is too small and the people on the plains have chariots made of iron. It's all a bit too hard, really. Chapter 19, the tribe of Dan couldn't capture any of their allotted land, so they just gave up. Found another easier place to live. Look, no doubt, in all these chapters, there are some big wins. Overall, it's a pretty exciting time for Israel. Finally in the promised land. Rest at last. But worryingly, they seem happy to live side by side with quite a few of the Canaanites. Pretty happy to let them stay, worshipping their false gods. How long is it going to be before Israel compromise and start worshipping false gods as well? What are Israel risking if they do? Rest at last? Maybe not. Let's see how it all ends. Have a look at the very end of chapter 21. That's where we're going to stop today, at the end of chapter 21. After all of these victories, after all of this allocation of the land, chapter 21, verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he'd sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he'd sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one. That's a pretty upbeat way to wrap up this section. Rest on every side. For the first time since the Garden of Eden. Rest. Wonderful rest. But it does leave us feeling somewhat conflicted, doesn't it? Because if we've paid attention along the way, we've got to be thinking this rest is more than a bit precarious. We've got to wonder, this is all a bit fragile. Because God has told his people, he's told them very clearly that they will reject him. They will lose their rest if they're happy to live among people who worship false gods. Now, In the book of Joshua, we don't find out how long this rest lasts. We could read the rest of the Old Testament story, but this morning we're just going to take a massive shortcut because in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews gives us an assessment of everything that we've read today in Joshua. And as we've discovered time and time again this term, the real value for us in Joshua is when we compare Joshua to Jesus. So have a look at what Hebrews says. Hebrews says, if Joshua had given them rest, God wouldn't have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. See, according to Hebrews, it turns out despite all that we've read in Joshua, all this about God's people entering the promised land, it turns out that entering God's rest was always a much bigger thing in God's plan than just entering the promised land. If entering God's rest only ever meant entering the promised land, then it wouldn't make sense for God to talk about another rest. And yet God has another rest in mind. See, Israel's problem was they kept on living among people who trusted in false gods, and so Israel could not escape their own sin. Perfect rest, well, it only comes when our sin is dealt with. Enter Jesus. Through Jesus' death on the cross, there's now nothing standing in the way of us coming to God. And so for you and I, rest does not come from Joshua. Rest does not come from fighting wars and defeating our enemies. Rest comes from Jesus defeating sin in our lives. Through Jesus, we enter into God's rest. Hebrews goes on and says, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. God didn't rest from his work in creating the world because he was tired. He rested to enjoy his creation. God rested to delight in all that he'd made. Hebrews says if we hold fast to Jesus, we get to share in that. That means that right now, we can relax with the God of the universe in the mercy and grace of having our sin forgiven. Right now, there's no sin that is not covered by the blood of Jesus at the cross. Right now, we don't have to worry about ever missing out on the love of God through Christ. Right now, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. In addition to all of that, we now look forward to Jesus bringing us one day into a whole new creation. And we will be able to rest in that creation. We will be able to revel in, delight in that creation with God. Jesus invites us to be with him in a place where everything is just as it should be. A place where we can be with God, God's people, in God's place in his eternal kingdom, enjoying all that God has done for us. A place where there's no deadlines, no homework, no cleaning to do, nothing to worry about, no stress, no concerns waiting for us on the other side of the weekend. Whatever you do, Hebrews says, don't miss out on that rest. Hebrews says, make every effort to enter it. Friends, it's not a very complicated, it's not a very hard lesson. If you want deep, soul-satisfying rest, hold fast to Jesus. Jesus himself says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. Rest for your soul. Rest that comes with your sin being forgiven. Rest that comes from looking forward to being welcomed into a whole new creation. It comes not from Joshua, it comes from Jesus. All of which is not to say that you shouldn't rest this afternoon. If you get a chance to rest this afternoon, enjoy it. You should enjoy it. Enjoy the rest that you get in this world. It's good for us. But it is also true that in lots of ways, in lots of subtle ways, we may be convinced to let go of Jesus and look to other things for rest. In this world, we will be told that Jesus is not as important as working hard so you can afford a big holiday. In this world, we'll be told over and over that we should put more and more effort into the kind of rest that the world offers rather than the kind of rest that Jesus offers. But friends, if we want rest that is more than just flopping down in front of the TV at the end of the day, well, that kind of rest is found in Jesus. Worldly rest is a short-lived rest. If we think that we can rest when we go on holiday, I mean, that's great, but in the end we're going to be disappointed. If we think we can rest once we've bought a house or got married or start earning big bucks, if we think that we can rest when we retire, we're going to be disappointed. That rest is good, but it's frustratingly unsatisfying rest, no matter what the world tells us. Perfect, soul-satisfying rest. Father God, thank you so much that when we come to Jesus, he gives us rest. Father, please help us to hold fast to him and find rest in him. Amen.